was intrigued with the
Bedouins.
Excuse me, Bedouins. Wherever we traveled, I could see their shadowy tents pitched along the rolling windswept hillsides or tucked in a quiet little valley along the way. And wherever we stopped, where they were present, they met us with weathered faces, faces accented with glistening dark eyes and haunting smiles that just seemed to captivate you. I found myself often searching those faces, searching those eyes, wondering about their life, looking into their hearts, as it were. These were the faces of individuals who chose a life of movement, a life of continual transition, rather than some humble little village or humble dwelling to live in. They preferred to live in tents and move from place to place, casually grazing their cattle or plying their trade. It didn't matter. It didn't matter that their clothes were drabby and worn, that dust clung to the wrinkles in their faces, or that their tents were weather-beaten and vulnerable, or that they looked so out of place in our modern technological world. And as I stole fleeting glances into those shiny dark eyes, I sensed that they were looking back in my eyes. We were both travelers. I was a tourist in the Bible lands, there for a couple weeks. They were nomads of the desert, there for their whole life. I would be returning home in just a few days. Their home would be moving in a few days. And I looked in, as I looked into their eyes, I was wondering what it was that caused them to choose their way. What it was that caused these desert nomads, the Bedouins, what caused them to live the way that they were living. And I sensed as I looked in their eyes that they were looking back at me, knowing that I was asking questions in the back of my mind about their life. And it was as if I could see, glistening back from those dark, shiny eyes, why do you look? Why do you wonder? We are happy with the way that we have chosen. Why do you wonder? Abraham was a Bedouin. At least he lived that way. The Bible tells us that he left the comfort and the security and the permanence of his wealthy family in the Ur of the Chaldees and went out. He went out as an alien, as a sojourner, as a pilgrim in a foreign land. Twice our passage, Hebrews 11:8, refers to the fact that Abraham went out. This idea of going out was a hallmark of his life. Going forth, moving on, dwelling in tents, as it says in verse 9. And my observing the lifestyle and the ways of the Bedouins has enabled me to picture in my mind a little bit more clearly what Abraham's choice really was, what it really meant. So often I was inclined, and I think we are inclined, to read the story of Abraham from a distance. This is something that some great man of God did in the past. And we praise him and we say, what faith. But then we must read what the book of Romans says about Abraham, that Abraham is the father of all those who believe. When we begin to grasp that, we begin to sense that this passage begins speaking to us. That is telling us something about the life of faith. It is reminding us that the life of faith, believing in the God of heaven, has something to do with going forth and moving on. Our passage tells us by faith Abraham, when he was called, went out. Our passage links together that biblical concept of faith. If the idea of going forth, of going out. That is a hallmark of those that believe in the God of heaven. A going forth, a going out, as it were. A people who have heard the call of God. A call of God that indicates to them His plans. His plans for them to move from where they are to a place that is different. A place that is better. A life that is different. A life that is better. And as we look at the life of Abraham, and we consider this idea that the Scriptures teach us that faith is a journey, that faith is a moving on, that faith is a going forth, a journeying experience, we must understand that faith, this journey experience, has some interesting qualities to it that any journey, that any pilgrimage has. There's the idea of separation. And we're talking in terms of religious and spiritual values here. The idea of separation, a dislocation or a dissatisfaction with what is considered to be home to the world. A translation of values where reaching that supreme value, we understand, can only take place in another world. And so the journey of faith means a separation, and a separation always means a leaving behind, a leaving home. For the people of God, that means leaving behind a life of sin, that means leaving behind companions that might hinder us on our journey towards heaven, that means a leaving behind old habits and old attitudes, leaving behind former ways of looking at life, leaving behind anything that runs contrary to the life that Jesus Christ has held out to us as a pattern. And there's also destination. For Abraham, destination was this land of promise. But we see in verse 10 that beyond this land of promise was a heavenly city. And the people of God, those journeying the journey of faith, have a destination, the new heavens and the new earth, and that heavenly city, don't we? And there's purpose, too. There's always purpose to the journey. There's always purpose to the traveling. We seek eternal life. We desire forgiveness from sin. We long for transformation of our life to become new creatures, where old things have gone away, the things that grip, the things that press us down, the things that destroy our souls, that burden our hearts. We long for transformation of life. We want to see Jesus face to face, don't we? And we covet reunion with our lost, with our loved ones that have gone before. But there's always hardship and trial when one travels. You've traveled at all, packing your suitcase and rushing in lines at the airport, or wondering if your baggage will make it. You know, that's all part of the trial of traveling. For those who travel along the pathway of faith, they will find many temptations, confusing philosophies and teachings, attractive things of the world that would detour, emotional ties that would hold us back, crushing defeats that would cripple, peer pressures that seem to hold us back and hinder, and discouragement and trials. All these are parts of the journeying process. Separation and a destination and a reason for journeying. But the trials and the burdens and the frustration of the process, it's all parts. And these are the kinds of things that we sense that Abraham experienced as he went out in faith. In my congregation in Seabrook, Maryland, one of our elders had served as an electrician on a submarine, nuclear sub. And he told me while he was in the service, he spent many months underneath the ocean, quietly navigating their way in the sub, you know, through all kinds of situations. Says, all of the time, we had no idea where we were going. We would simply show up to our place of duty. The hatch would close. We would go out a little way outside from the shoreline and then disappear into the water. And we knew that often our captain had no idea of where we were going either. But sometimes he would receive a package, and it wasn't until 4 or 5 days into the journey that he would open that package and realize that he had to be at such and such a place to receive another signal of where he might lead his men. He found it intriguing. He says, to keep some kind of sanity, sometimes our captain would put on a big chart where we had been. Not where we were going, but where we had been. And he says, it shook us to realize that we had been in the Black Sea. It shook us to realize that we had been in places where one ought not to be. And as Ron was telling me this, I said, oh my, I'm glad that I was not on a submarine. But these are the kinds of things that Abraham experienced. Our passage tells us at the end of verse 8 that he went out not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going. That's one of the attributes. That's one of the processes of the faith journey, the faith experience, that the people of God are moving out, that they are traveling, and they don't always know where they are going or what is happening or will be happening in their life next. Oh yes, they have a general picture that God has outlaid for them. But God, for Abraham, did not pull out a map and say, Abraham, this is where you go, and then this is where you go, and then this is where you go. And Abraham be able to sit back and say, well, after 120 years, I'll be over there, and these are all the experiences that will come my way. Abraham had no idea that Sarah would be taken from him when they went down into Egypt. Abraham had no idea that he would have a falling out with Lot, the only family member that seemed to go along with his mission and his journey. Abraham didn't know that he would be called upon to lead a counterattack against the marauding armies that came down and sacked Sodom and the cities of the plain. And he didn't know either that he would be tempted with the rich spoils of that fantastic victory that he gained. Abraham didn't know of the sorrow and the bitterness of trial when he would be called upon to offer his son as a sacrifice. Abraham couldn't see into the distance and feel the bitterness of loneliness when he lay Sarah to rest in the cave of Machpelah. Abraham's life was a continual journey. And each day was a day of new revelations. Each day was a new day of God speaking to his heart. Each day was a new day of decisions. Each day was a new day of surrender. He was called. He was challenged to continue moving on. Going forth. Believing. As I look at the Christian life, I sense that the passage of Hebrews here is telling us that the life of faith is filled with uncertainties. There are things unseen that confront every one of us in our lives as we choose the life that God has laid out for us. And we can list piles of them. Who will go along with us in our journey? Who will lead us and pick us up when we become discouraged and our own hearts are bleeding? Where will we live? What kind of job will we have? How will we meet our financial obligations if we follow God's plans for our lives? Who will desert us along the way? Who will seek to hinder us? What kind of decisions will we be led to make? What responsibilities will be pressed upon our shoulders as people of God? How will it affect our families? How will my journey of faith affect my standing in the community? My job? When will I experience the sweet experience of success? And when will I be defeated? What will I have to endure? These are the kinds of things that stir in the heart and the breast of every one of us. These are the kinds of things, the uncertainties that paralyze us, that keep us from going forth, from moving on. It's unnatural for us to leave go of the things that are in our hands, the things that we are familiar with, the things that we are accustomed to, and to go out towards something that we're not always sure how it will impact on our lives. We struggle inside with the uncertainties that faith demands us to face. We would like all the answers. But the facts is we are called to respond to a hidden guidance, a leading that we can't always explain, responsibilities that don't always make sense to those around us. And when we make decisions as the people of God, we sense the eyes of the world on us, questioning our intelligence. So much doesn't make sense. Have you ever wondered what it was that made Abraham go forth, step out? What is it that causes any one of us to begin the journey of faith? What is it that causes any one of us to respond, to go, to take the risks that are involved in a life of faith? To face those uncertainties, although our minds are screaming for clarity, although our hearts are yearning for something clear. Nevertheless, we journey. What is it that leads us? What is it that causes us to make that step of faith? Our passage tells us here, Hebrews 11, that Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out. Our passage focuses on those words, when he was called, and he obeyed. Abraham obeyed. And if you could read this in the original language, the sense in the words, the Greek words, seem to imply that while the message was sounding in his ears, even before there was quietness, Abraham started packing. Abraham heard a call. Abraham understood what God was saying. Somehow, in some way that Scripture doesn't explain to us, God revealed Himself to Abraham, and Abraham heard, and Abraham understood, and Abraham responded. Abraham began to pack, and Abraham began to journey. Yes, it is true that he went out not knowing where he was going. But our passage of Scripture seems to imply very strongly to our hearts this morning that while he did not know where he was going, he knew that he was asked to go. And he also knew who it was that had asked him to go. Somewhere and somehow, Abraham became familiar with the voice of God. Somewhere and somehow, he had entered into a relationship with the God of heaven, that when God spoke and held out for him a plan that was filled with so many unknowns, that he knew that he must go, although he didn't know where he was going. Although his path was filled with uncertainties, he was certain that he was to face these uncertainties. And so our passage of Scripture contrasts for us two sides of the faith experience. On the one hand, it is telling us that faith is uncertainty. Faith meets the unknown. Faith confronts the questions. Faith pulls us into a life that is continually transient, that one can never fully put their fingers down and say, this is going to happen and this is going to be our life. But yet it is telling us that faith is certainty. Faith is being confident. Faith is having some absolutes. That absolute is not found in where we might be going or what will be happening in our lives. The absolute is found in the one who has called us to journey. The one who has called us to move out. The one who has called us to go forth. When I look at this passage of Scripture, my heart sees the struggle that every one of us have to yield ourselves to the call of God. There's something about us as human beings to resist God's invitations to our hearts because we want control over our own lives. But all we need to do is experience a few of the tragedies of life. Burning homes and crashing planes are devouring disease. And we begin to recognize that we really don't have too much control. Our lives are filled with uncertainty. How much better then it is for us to allow ourselves to be led along the uncertain path of faith, knowing that we go in faith. Faith in the one who has called us to journey. I see in this passage of Scripture a call for us to respond. Abraham was confronted with uncertainties, yet he was confronted with certainty. And the passage of Scripture tells us that he obeyed. His response was spontaneous. His response was quick and sure. He made those steps into the unknown. And to me, that's the purpose of this one verse. This passage of Scripture, it's designed for us to focus for a few brief moments on the life of Abraham. And as our minds and our hearts are caught up with his story of faith and journey, we are invited to step into that story. We are called to understand that it is speaking to us. And we ourselves are invited, yea, we are impressed to take the risk. It's as if God's Word is saying to our hearts, It's your move. And every one of us today can say, oh yes, there are things about the life of faith that are attractive and beautiful to us that build a longing joy in our hearts, but yet, as we look out at what God might be asking, what God might be inviting, what God might be pressing us to become or to do or to go or to give or to receive, it's not comfortable. We want to be cleansed from our sins, but yet there's still attachment to the things that defile our souls. We want to live a life for Jesus, but we're not sure when we give our lives to Him what He's going to ask us to do or to become. I don't know this morning, as your pastor, how the Lord is speaking to you and inviting you to go forth. For some of you, I know some of the things that you're dealing with. I don't know what kind of uncertainty is stirring in your mind, whether it's relating to your home or whether it's relating to your job or meeting your family resources, needs, making things right with a brother. A call to ministry, becoming more active in the family of faith here at the Village Church. I don't know how God is speaking to your heart. I do know this, over the last couple of months, we've been talking about God's ability to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You believe that, don't you? God has infinite resources. And in the journey of faith, we have those dreams of God, the resources of God, the eternity of God, alongside of our journey along the unknown. But for us to see God working in that way that is beyond our imaginations and beyond what we find ourselves asking so often, in order for that to happen, we must go forth. We must step out. We must allow the certainty of God's invitation to our personal lives, whether it is to accept Him as our Savior, to be buried in the waters of baptism, to keep the Sabbath, to begin tithing, to make something right with our fellow member of the church family, to forgive our children, to apologize to our spouse, whatever it is that God is speaking to us. We must be willing to respond to that certain call of God to our hearts and step out, although it's unfamiliar, although we cannot fully define it all. We're called to respond. And as we do, He will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or what we think.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.